Now today, we are skipping ahead in our study of the life of Christ. Next week, we'll be back on track in chronological order. Now, first things first, if you missed last week, you missed out on a great message from Brother Romeo Mendoza. We had a great time getting updates from him about his family's work, getting ready to be on the mission field in the Philippines. And he gave us a great message on being prepared to be used for the Lord. Now, it's at this point that I would normally say, if you missed this message, go back and listen to it on the CBC website. But there's a slight problem. Last week, I forgot to hit the record button. So I'm wondering if anybody that was here last week can give a little bit of a synopsis of what it is that they learned from Pastor Mendoza, Brother Mendoza, so that everybody else can hear what they missed out on. Does anybody remember? Can anybody give me something from what they learned? Ah, now he put the screws on. It's a test. Yes, Rian.
I remember him saying that in the beginning of his journey that he was just open to do anything, even if he wasn't sure he would be good at it, and he got placed in a lot of random different things and tasks, and he was surprised at like how God blessed him and gave him the ability to do the things, and like then eventually 32 people got saved.
Yeah.
From his first, what was it?
It was like a speaking engagement in the Philippines. Yeah.
So it taught me to just like be more open to trying new things, even if I don't think I'll be good at them, or if I initially like want to do them, might be like, in my head, like if it's cleaning toilets or something.
Yeah.
But you have to just be willing and open.
Okay. Very good. Yes. Lori.
When God told Moses to go out and be the leader, and he said, "Why me? I can't do it. I can't speak." The first thing God said back to him was, "What do you have in your hand?" And he said, "Well, a rod." And God said, "That's all you need. I can do the power, give you the strength, so just use what you have."
Yeah.
And that rod ended up being a big tool to part the seas for the Israelites to get out of Egypt.
You're really close. That was actually Brother Ed's message the week before, but I'm going to accept that as well, because Brother Mendoza, his message ties in exactly to what Brother Mendoza was saying. In fact, I think he did give an illustration back to Moses as well, so you're still keyed in.
I was going to say, actually, that Lori's statement, it ties in with what we got during that sermon about reminding us, like, that question has been on my heart for the last 2 weeks about what's in your hand. And I'm constantly thinking to myself, what's in my hand? Because I don't think that anything that I have as an ability or anything that God has necessarily given me, I don't think of it as anything grand and glorious.
Yeah.
But God took that rod and he turned it into a snake. And then it was the rod that he hit the rock on to make water. It was the rod that parted the sea. It was the rod that he held up during the battle. It was just a rod, but God used it. And so the talents and abilities that God has given me, I need to do the same. And then when we followed it up with Brother Mendoza's sermon about the mission field and how he talked about how the mission field was about Christ and about sharing the gospel with others and being willing to do whatever it is, like Rian said, even cleaning toilets. I mean, like, whatever it is, just being willing, because we don't know how God is going to use us.
Yeah.
And we are here for that purpose, to use him, even when things look difficult or frustrating or like we're just being tossed to and fro. God is our anchor, and he's the one that's going to get us through it. And so it was really great to have those two tied together, reminding us, too, that it's not just about what's in your hand, but it's also remembering that everything that's before us is a missions field.
Yeah.
Everything. And we need to be willing to serve the Lord in whatever capacity we can so that we can make sure that people know about the God who loves them, and about Christ who died for them.
Amen. Amen. Cheering. Cheering.
I would have said, nothing because I can't remember what I said.
You're like, I taken some notes.
I did take
notes. Okay, all right.
And he had the bullet points. Missions is the passion of Christ. Mm-hmm. Missions is the hope of the condemned. Missions is the barometer or the measuring stick of the church for the individual and the world.
Yeah.
There were a few things within there that he mentioned. Like, we don't typically come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're brought to him.
Yeah.
And that is to say that we don't ourselves find him.
Mm.
We are often introduced to him by someone else.
No.
But then there were some other things, too, personally, that I noticed he brought up, that they're not young, so to speak,
yeah.
But yet they're still just now starting.
And yeah.
In other words, we can be used at any point in time. We don't necessarily have to think that missions is a young person's game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen. Otherwise, you're going to start preaching again. Okay.
Yeah.
So my takeaway, my big takeaway for this, and I'm going to repeat this, I'm going to use this again and again in the future, but my takeaway from it was that Jesus' passion is telling people about the gospel. And if that is the Lord's passion, then that should be our passion too. I thought that was a great point, and I definitely plan on using that in the future. Jesus' passion is telling people about the gospel. All right, Matthew chapter 25, we're going to begin in verse 14. So let's look together. Verse 14, please follow along as I read. The text here says, "For the kingdom of heaven," Jesus is saying, "for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." All right, let's pause here for just a moment. So Jesus is giving an analogy of the kingdom of heaven. So that is one point to pay attention to. As we go through this, think about this, that this is an analogy of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the second point is identifying that I want to draw attention to is the fact that the man here has called all of his personal servants to him. And he gives each one of them something very special. Something very special, something of great value. It came from him. He didn't borrow it from someone else. It came from him of great value. In fact, the talent that is described here in the text was basically a brick of silver. And it typically weighed anywhere between 60 pounds and 85 pounds. Okay, so in today's thing, that's roughly, I think, just over $1,000 a pound, if you want to think about it. So this was of great value. This wasn't like he gave them $5 and say, good luck with that. He looked at them and gave each one of them something according to the measure of something that they had already done in life. We're going to get to that more here in a moment. But we see here that each one received according to what they had already been doing. So the one you expect to see toiling in the night, that servant will receive more. Whereas the lazy worker, the one you have to coax and remind over and over to follow through, they will receive the least. So look with me at verse 16. Then he who had, back to verse 15. "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." So according to his own ability. Now this isn't natural abilities. This is according to how these servants were already serving God. Were they saying, okay, I'm going to do it, but they're just laying on the couch not doing anything? Are they making an effort? Are they showing up and saying, okay, I am going to serve. Okay, I'll be here. I'm here. I'm doing a little bit. I'll give the Lord like an hour of my time. Or were they ones that were passionately saying, I want to serve. I'm going to serve in whatever capacity I can do it. And the one that wanted to serve, that was passionate about it, he received 5 talents. The one that said, okay, Lord, I will serve you, but I'm only going to give you about an hour, they received 2 talents. And then we see here the lazy one, the one that was like, listen, I really want to do this, but I don't think I can get off the couch today. He received one talent. So according to their ability, according to how they've already shown themselves reliable, look with me at verse 16. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So the Lord of the servants has returned. He's come back. He's done with his long journey. He's come back. He's gathering his servants around him. He's going to settle accounts to see what they did with what they were given. Look with me at verse 20. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. Verse 21 says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now consider with me the response of this master, of this Lord over his servants. He is excited for them, okay? He didn't give them these talents and be like, well, good luck. Let's see what you can do with them. He gave them this talents because he wanted to see them prosper. He wanted to see them do great things in his name. And he, based on whether or not they gave it to him was what they did. You know, he then here congratulates his servant at his faithfulness and declares, well done, good and faithful servant. Because of your faithfulness to me, I will give you more blessings and I will move you up in rankings. I can see high fives here, okay? Big pats on the back and even laughter and excitement from the Lord towards his servants. He is so excited. He is so excited that his servants have prospered so well. After all, he never left him these talents to fail, but as an opportunity to do great things. And the master wants to see his servants follow through and do great things. Look with me at verse 22. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So just as it happened with the first servant, the master of the house is jumping for joy and congratulating his servant for doing so well with what he has been given. And we see the result here is the same. The Lord rewards the one who was faithful to him. Look with me at verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have at least received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now, the last servant didn't do anything with his talent, and so he's left with nothing. The master gave him everything that he needed to be a success, and he decided to sit on it instead of doing anything profitable with it. He buried it and went back about his business, never putting it to good use. And what happened in the end? His reward was being stripped of that talent and given instead to the one who was the most faithful. The least he could have done is given the value of the talent away to someone who would have put it to good use, Jesus says, instead of burying it. Look with me at verse 29. Jesus continues, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the servant was cast out, but not because he failed to invest his talent. No, he was cast out because he was given so much, and he just buried it. He could have helped so many, and yet he did nothing. How does this apply to our lives today? Well, Jesus is our Lord and Master. And to all of those who have submitted to him as Lord of their life, he has given special abilities and opportunities to be used in service to him. Now, he doesn't just randomly throw out abilities to people, okay? I don't see Jesus up there on the clouds with a salt shaker, you know, just kind of salting things around and being like, oh, you know, whoever gets whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just like here in the parable. He didn't just throw it out in random and be like, oh, the lazy servant ended up getting 5 talents. No, he looked at each person's ability, at each person's desire as to what they were doing for him even now, and saying, okay, I will give to you according to your desire, according to what you're already putting into place. So you have 3 servants who were chosen very specifically to receive these specific opportunities. The most faithful received the most. The mid-faithful received a little, and still the one that was the least faithful still received 1. And the Lord is looking at our lives and rewarding us with opportunities to serve him more based on what we do in our lives for him today. Now think about it. How faithful are you? How faithful are you today to the Lord? Do you follow through with what you say you are going to do? Do you desire to know God more and have him more in your life? Or are you satisfied with him just kind of watching from a distance? How do you use what abilities and opportunities that you have now to serve him? And we are given in life hands to hold things. We have feet to carry us to places, a voice to tell others about the light that is within us. But what do we do with these things? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let me ask you this. Open question for anyone. Who is the most important person that we can tell anyone in the world about? What's that? I can't hear you. Jesus, God, the Lord. Why? Why? If you think it's the most important, why? Somebody's got to say it. We're so quiet today. Because of what he's done, what has he done for us? He gave his life for us. Why is that important?
Because we're wicked and evil, and we cannot come to the Father without the sacrifice of the blood of Christ.
That's right. We can't come to the Father without the sacrifice of the blood of Christ. And that's not coming to the Father because of the knowledge of having that sacrifice. It's not because of the knowledge of what Jesus has done for us. It's when we commit and say to him, hey, Jesus, I need you. And we ask him for forgiveness of our sins and we accept him as our Lord and personal Savior. Then we have him in our lives. But we can't come to the Father until we have Jesus Christ, until we have been saved from our sins. Now, what happens if we don't tell other people about Jesus? They may never hear. They may never hear. And what if they don't hear? Hold it. You're quizzing out. What happens if they don't hear?
Like what Brother Romeo said, we don't go ourselves. We're brought to the gospel.
We're brought to the gospel, yeah.
So hear it, then chances are they're not going to go.
So if they don't hear the gospel, then they're not going to go to heaven. Where are they going to end up then? Where's the other spot? There's only two, according to the Bible. Hell. If we don't open the voice that God has given us to share Christ, others are destined for hell. How will they hear without us using our voice? We need to be using our minds to think about the ways that we can serve Christ faithfully. And that may just be about being faithful in something that you're not very faithful in right now. We need to be using our feet and our hands and whatever is in our hands to put to work for the sake of Christ. Now, it doesn't have to be all grand and glorious. It can be simple, everyday gestures of encouraging other people. Oftentimes, something simple that is in my hands is a gospel tract, which I would give you an example of. It's not in my hands right now. Always by the door on the way out. A gospel tract, something really easy you can put in your pocket, or if you got these little be still and know things, you got the church website and information on, also the calendar on the back, but something really simple. You can put it in your purse, you can put it in your pocket, you can put it in your wallet, you can give it out wherever you go. It's something really simple that is often in my hands. Or sometimes I'm going to be standing in line at the grocery store and people are just going to be like, oh, I just have the worst day ever. And I'll be like, yes, but isn't it wonderful that the rain came and now the sun's out, and it just shows us that our great God and Heavenly Father loves us and wants to give us these things and provide for us. There, I just gave you a little bit of encouragement and pointed you back to the Lord. Or I might say, wow, isn't it wonderful that we have John 3:16, that God still loves us and has sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Sometimes I'll give out different verses or even verses from Proverbs or Psalms that can be encouraging. I'm pointing people back to the Word. We all have opportunities to share Christ. And your faithfulness may be about increasing your prayer life, because we all have needs. And there is not a day that I don't receive some kind of prayer request from people. And let me just say this, good prayer takes work. I remember an elderly woman some years ago that was here at the church, and she made this statement. She's like, what can I do for the Lord? You know, people often say when you get old, all you can do is be a prayer warrior. And she's like, I don't want to be a prayer warrior. I want to do something else. I'm like, well, there's plenty of things that you can do. But if God has put you in a spot in your life where you can't really get up and be able to get out and do many things, guess what? God may be laying on your heart. It's time for you to be a prayer warrior. And I'll tell you what, prayer warrior is not easy. She looked at it as like, it's just a simple thing. Anybody can pray. No, a prayer warrior takes time. It takes great effort. It takes focus, which means you have to be really strong in your own personal spiritual life in order to be that prayer warrior. But make note, God may be putting on your heart that it's time for you to take up the task to be a prayer warrior. And prayer warriors are great, great assets in a church. Oftentimes a pastor can go to someone they know as a prayer warrior and say, hey, can you pray for this? And know that it is going to be bathed in prayer. And maybe your talents are best used in just helping with other ministries already established here at CBC. The point is to use what God has given you and not to waste it. Now, as many of you know, Tracy and I are out-of-the-box thinkers. Because of that, we come up with all kinds of ideas on things to do. And Moments in Truth started in order to be a help and encouragement to all of you, and also to encourage other people in California. And now we can see online that it's traveling all across the world, encouraging other people. Something else is Tracy created a website that points others to Christ. I gave you the QR code here for it, and is intended to be a place of encouragement and help those who need it most. But how do we get this gospel message into the hands of those who are unsaved? How do we do it? That's the thing, is because the unsaved, they're doing something specific. They aren't looking for the Lord, typically. Unsaved people don't typically look for the Lord. They're led by other people. So how do we reach the unsaved? Well, Tracy and I have been testing this out via eBay over the last year. We have been selling products to women, nail polish strips. They're like stickers that go on for for nail polish. Guys, you don't know what this is about. Don't worry about it. Women know. So, but we've been selling products to women, and this is what we've learned. If we sell something in like new condition, people get really excited about whatever it is that they bought. And so they're anticipating it coming to their house in the day that they're gonna be able to open it up and say, oh yay, this is exactly what I wanted. Well, when they make that purchase, what comes in is their names and their information and so on. So the first thing we do is we take their names and we bathe each individual person in prayer. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their hearts to be open to the Lord. And we pray for however God leads. Sometimes God leads us directly to pray for them in specific ways. And we just pray for them. And we, as we pray for them, then what we do is we package up their item and we put a gospel message. We put a gospel track or some kind of encouragement card in there. Sometimes it's just a verse or a prayer card of some kind. And we send it out. And you know what we have found? People are oftentimes delighted in the encouragements. They needed it. It encouraged them. People are telling us that it reminds them that they need to read their Bible more, that it reminds them that they need to know Jesus more, that they need more prayer, and people love it. And over 2,000 gospels so far have been sent out all over the U.S., including Alaska and Hawaii. And what's interesting about this, as I put, I couldn't draw it. This, I know this is poor already, but I couldn't draw Alaska and Hawaii, so it's a box. But here we are, little CBC. And we're sending gospel messages out to different places all over. And we have looked, we've sent to every state. They've got it in Maine, they've got it in Michigan, they've got it in Alaska and Hawaii, they've got it to Florida. And what happens is people hear, they hear about the gospel, and then it affects them in ways where they may be able to tell their family and friends and so on about the gospel. We've also found something else. We found that believers at times end up getting this as well. And what happens is those believers, they get excited. I just got a gospel tract in here. This excites me. I should be going and telling other people about that. So many times they'll take that tract and they'll move it forward and they'll start telling other people about the Lord as well. And we've gotten so much from people that say, wow, this is great. Or, hey, I need a prayer request about this, and so on. And they're using that message to move forward. But we're just a little church here in California. And yet God is still using his message with just a simple ability to move it forward. That's all he wants. He just wants us moving it forward. However we do, God will bless that. Well, we have had five rejections so far out of 2,000. We've had five people that have returned and said, I'm not interested in this. And that's every time we get those, we're like, wow, this person, we know they need salvation. So they've already identified themselves that they need God greatly. So we will bathe that person in prayer. One lady in particular, she not only complained about it, she posted a complaint, but she took a picture of the tract that we sent her in every section of it so that anyone looking at her complaint could read that gospel message from the beginning to the end. And I was like, wow, God works in mysterious ways. I'll tell you what. He has such a great sense of humor. He's like, fine, you're going to complain. You're going to complain so much that you're going to display my word again to everyone. So we're like, praise the Lord for this woman. So, but we've been able to send out the gospel message to all of these areas, and these people have been affected in some way, even being encouraged to those around him. And something that we're working on right now is trying to find other ways other than nail polish, but other things that ladies like, because we're looking at trying to reach not just this group of people, but all groups of people. And we're working on things for men. We're trying to figure out what do men like that men would like to get so that we can get the gospel into men's hearts as well. But we've also seen other gospel believers receiving these messages of hope and just being really excited about it. So consider this, never doubt what God can do with a willing heart. Never doubt what God can do with a willing heart. He can do anything as long as we're willing. And again, we're just this little church. we're not a big ministry that we, you know, sometimes I'll listen to different podcasts and stuff and they'll say, we're streaming around the world and we're in 50 different languages and all these different things. And I'm like, well, they must be just a massive ministry. We're nothing. We're just very tiny. But that's okay. God's using us for whatever abilities we have. It doesn't matter how many people we have. We could be down to 3 people and God could still use our abilities to reach tons more people. Now, just to clarify, we have given tracts out into our community over the years and we just really haven't received much back from our community, not as much interest to it. I think maybe there's too much wealth here. Everybody looks to what they have instead of what they need. But we still go door to door at times. We still put tracts in the doors. We still send things out to them. We still share with our community. And we just use these other opportunities as well. And God will continue to move his word forward. Now, let me share with you this launch last night at midnight. This is Tracy's site. I helped her with the building of it. But this is all her pictures and her wordage and stuff like that. But this is a great opportunity for people to come here and find out what true love is. The true love is from the Lord. The true love shows who God is and that God loves mankind. And what's different about this website is it's not attached to a church. So a lot of people today is they're like, I don't want to have anything to do with church. Well, this has nothing to do with church. This has something to do with the God who loves you more than anything. And this is a great website, not just for unbelievers, but for believers to use as a resource. We even have the Romans Road on here to be able to go to be able to use with other people. We have it here in a little image and then also kind of laid out here at the bottom. So it can be a help to you. This is your homework this week. So I don't normally give out homework, but I need for you all, every one of you, if I hear back you didn't do it, you're in so much trouble. No. Every one of you, if you could, take a look at this website. Make sure the links work more than once. Check to make sure words are laid out right, that the pictures are laid out right. And the other thing is it looks different on different devices, and we're trying to make sure that it flows on every device, even, dare I say, non-Apple devices. But if you could look at this week and just really look over it and make sure it all looks right and it makes sense too, we would be grateful for that. And this is just stage one. We're going to be doing much more with this, but we want to be able to use it for however God wants us to do with it. Now, I want to go back and take a look at something. Jesus said at the close of our text something really important. So look back with me at verse 29. Again, Jesus said, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, what Jesus is alluding to here is not that if you don't keep serving, you're going to have your salvation taken away and you're going to be thrown out of heaven. Okay, that's not what he's saying at all. Once you have your salvation, you always have your salvation. It's never taken away. However, what Jesus is suggesting is that if you do not have a heart to serve, you do not have a heart for the Lord. Jesus is suggesting here that you may not be saved. You may not have salvation. Because if you don't want to serve, if you don't want to love the things that Jesus loves, then you may not really know Jesus like you thought you did. You may not have ever really submitted to God to admit that you're a sinner to him and asked him to forgive you. Because salvation from your sins can only come from a changed and repentant heart. And it's after that repentant heart that we're like, you know what? I'm starting to love the things that Jesus loves. I'm starting to even love my enemy, which seems really weird. And I want to forgive people and be okay with that. Even people that other people are like, there's no way I'd forgive that person. And say, you know, I forgive them. Because Jesus forgave me. I want to love the things that God loves. I want to serve and be faithful to him. And this is something that changes in us when we change for him. It's all about that change. Now, let me encourage you today to not let this be you. Don't let this be you that gets cast out of the kingdom because you don't know God. Trust in God. Love God. He loves you more than you will ever know. Now, for those who are genuine believers, it's good to make a commitment to serve in whatever capacity that God has opened the doors for you. In fact, the best way to learn what those talents and gifts are from God is to serve. To serve in your church. Start serving in your church. And as Rianne said earlier, don't even worry about doing the gross jobs that nobody else wants to do. Because it's when doing the behind-the-scenes stuff that nobody sees and the dirty jobs that God is going to show you what your abilities are and what He really wants you to do. That's where it's all going to start. But when you make a commitment, you also have to make a realistic plan of action for how you're going to accomplish your service to the Lord. Now, many times we plan, we say, I want to do this, I'm totally going to do this, plan on me, I'll be there. But then when the time comes, we're like, oh, but I've got this, and I've got this, and I'm so tired, and oh, what's this going on, and somebody else is vying for my attention over here, and we don't show up. It's important for us to follow through. So don't just say, yes, I'm going to do this, because that's oftentimes, I'll tell you what, me, when I first got started here as pastor here, I'm like, yes, 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 I will do everything, and then very quick, I found that I couldn't do everything, okay? So you have to look at it realistically. Yes, I want to do this, or yes, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to make a plan of action in my life to follow through so that I can be there, so that I can do this. And that's really important in serving. I give you that, I'm just giving you that as a caveat here, as the base, before you go before your pastor and say, yes, I will do this, make sure that's realistic, that you're not pulling yourself out of something that's impossible for you to actually make it. So be cautious of that. But regardless of what the world may teach, it is not the thought that counts, okay? It is following through that actually counts. So pray about how you can be used, but don't spend all of your time praying and thinking, because in no time you're going to find yourself sitting there on your talent, not getting anything done. Take a little bit of time to pray and then go and do. And while you're doing things, you may be doing things that you don't really want to do, but God's going to use you for His glory to do greater things. It's about starting to do the doing. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the lesson here of the talents. Help us to be faithful to you, faithful to your ministry, faithful to the things that you love. Help us to love the things that you love and hate the things that you love, that you hate. Help us, Lord, to keep moving your mission forward for your glory. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us today, instruct us, encourage us, help us to be faithful for you, and help us not to give up, but to continue to press forward for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins so that we can be repentant, so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can have them removed and one day be in glory with the Lord. I pray that we would not waste that opportunity, Lord. Help us to be faithful in all things to you today. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Now, before I move forward, does anybody have any questions? And just so you know, the website is actually, it's youareloved.love. The suffix .com, .org, .net, and so on are all very common. .love is a newer one that you typically see dating websites and so on. And we wanted to get out there the message of the greatest love to .love. So youareloved.love. And you'll see more of that come up in the future, but just make note of that.